All right, so this time around, you've handed us a pretty hefty challenge.
Yeah.
A whole mountain of articles and research all on the topic of mental health. And
Yeah.
you know what's so interesting is you're clearly not just looking for, a basic definitions here. You really want to understand the core challenges,
Absolutely.
and more importantly, what can actually help.
Yeah.
So let's dive deep into anxiety, depression, and that feeling we all know too well.
Oh, yeah. Burnout.
It's everywhere, right?
It's everywhere.
And what's really cool about the stuff you gave us this time is it goes beyond just defining those terms. You've got some real-world examples, some practical
That's
strategies.
what we want.
That's where the good stuff is.
Absolutely. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
So, one of the articles starts with this really powerful image. It says, "It sometimes feels like the world's on fast forward." And you know what? It turns out anxiety, depression, burnout, they're way more common
Oh, yeah.
than a lot of people realize.
I think people don't realize how common it is.
Yeah, it's millions globally.
Yeah.
And so it's high time we talk about this stuff.
Absolutely. And it's not just individual struggles either, right? We're
Yeah.
talking workplaces,
Yeah.
relationships,
Whole picture.
society as a whole. It's so important to address mental health effectively.
Okay, so let's break this down. Let's start with anxiety. One of the sources mentioned a woman who she couldn't even order a coffee without having a panic attack.
Wow.
Like, that's how severe it was. And come to find out, she had social anxiety,
Yep.
which is one of the many forms of anxiety disorders.
That's a great example of how anxiety can really manifest in very specific ways. It's not just those everyday nerves, We're talking persistent,
Right.
debilitating fear that interferes with daily life.
It can even manifest physically,
Oh,
like
absolutely.
heart racing, you're sweating, your stomach's doing
It's
flips.
like your body is in that fight or flight mode, even though there's no real danger.
Right.
And it's important to remember those physical symptoms because they can be a clue that something deeper is going on.
It's not just in your head. It affects your whole being, everything.
So that leads us to depression.
Okay.
Your sources describe this as persistent sadness, a loss of interest in things you used to love.
Right.
It can be like this dark cloud hanging over you, just zapping all your energy and motivation.
And there's so many different forms of depression too. You
Yeah.
know, major depressive disorder, persistent depressive disorder,
Right.
even seasonal affective disorder.
Right.
Each one has its own quirks,
Nuances.
but there are these common signs, you know, fatigue, changes in appetite.
Sleep.
Yeah, sleep, difficulty concentrating, feelings of hopelessness,
Yeah.
and even thoughts of self-harm or suicide.
One source points out that the causes of depression are super complex.
Oh, yeah.
Genetics, brain chemistry, life experiences, chronic stress can all play a role.
Yeah, it's like this tangled web of factors.
It is. And that's why it's so dismissive
Oh, totally.
and unhelpful to say to somebody, just snap out of it.
Right. It's not that easy.
This is a complex issue that requires a much deeper understanding.
For sure.
Okay, speaking of complex issues,
Okay.
let's talk about burnout.
Right. One of the research papers describes it as this feeling of being completely drained, like your batteries are just dead.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's becoming more and more common
Oh, yeah.
in this always-on culture.
It's tough out there.
It is. It's tough. So it's important to distinguish burnout from stress and anxiety, right?
Yeah, because they all kind of get lumped together.
They do.
But stress is that response to a specific
Like a
challenge.
deadline.
Yeah, deadline, a
Right,
conflict.
right.
And anxiety is more about the worry over potential outcomes.
What if I fail?
Exactly. What if I fail? But burnout is chronic.
Okay.
It's this emotional, physical exhaustion. And it often comes with this feeling of cynicism and detachment.
So it's not just that you're stressed about a particular task,
Right.
it's that you feel depleted on like a deeper level,
Yeah.
almost like you've hit a wall.
Yeah. You just don't have anything left to give.
Wow. And this is often linked to chronic workplace stress, right? Oh, yeah. Things like heavy workloads, lack of control, you know, when you don't feel like you have a say in things,
Yeah.
not enough reward for what you're doing. Maybe unfair treatment, or there's a breakdown of community where you work, or your values don't align with the company's values.
It sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And I imagine it's tough to even know if you're experiencing burnout or if you're just stressed or overworked.
One source describes it as this slow burn. You know, you might start with feeling increasingly tired, cynical, and then you start feeling detached from your work.
You're right.
And then eventually you even start to doubt your competence.
It's like this gradual erosion of
Yeah.
your energy and enthusiasm. You might
Absolutely.
not even realize it's happening until you're already in the thick of it.
That's why it's so important to pay attention to the signs and symptoms.
Right.
Early intervention is key to stopping it from spiraling.
Okay, so we've painted a pretty bleak picture so far.
We have.
But I'm ready to talk solutions.
You too.
What can we actually do?
Yeah.
To combat these challenges and really prioritize our well-being?
Well, your sources offer a bunch of different strategies, everything from simple everyday practices to the more structured therapeutic approaches.
Okay.
One of those fascinating to me is mindfulness.
Okay.
That's being present in the moment without judgment.
I've heard of mindfulness. I admit I'm still a little bit fuzzy on what it looks like in practice.
Yeah.
Can you break it down for me?
Absolutely. One of your articles talks about this study where they took people with anxiety.
Okay.
And they taught them this very simple mindfulness technique, just focusing on your breath for a few minutes every day.
Okay.
And they found that it significantly reduced their anxiety levels.
So by just focusing on something as basic as your breath, you can actually calm your mind and your body.
It's all about training your attention to what's happening right now instead of getting caught up in those worries about the past or future.
That makes sense. Are there other mindfulness techniques besides just focusing on your breath?
Oh yeah, tons. There's body scan meditation where you systematically bring your awareness to different parts of your body.
Great.
And notice any sensations without judgment.
Mm.
And there's walking meditation where you focus on the sensations of walking, you know, the feel of your feet on the ground, the movement of your legs, the rhythm of your breath.
So many different ways to bring mindfulness into your daily life.
There really are.
What else have we got in our mental health toolkit?
Sometimes you need more than just the do-it-yourself techniques. That's where therapy comes in. And your sources really emphasize how important it is to normalize getting help when you need it.
Absolutely. There's still so much stigma around therapy.
I know.
But it's a sign of strength to ask for support.
Absolutely. It is.
Yeah.
And there's so many different types of therapy, too.
Okay, so give us the rundown. What are some of the key options?
Well, one common approach is called cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT.
Okay.
And it focuses on identifying and changing those negative thought patterns and behaviors.
Okay.
For example, let's say you have social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
CBT can help you challenge those negative thoughts that are causing that fear and avoidance of social situations.
So it's not just about talking about your problems. It's about actually working to change the way you think and behave.
Exactly. It's about getting those coping strategies and challenging those thought patterns.
I love that. That sounds really empowering.
Yeah.
What other approaches are there?
There's also dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT.
Okay.
And this one focuses on emotional regulation and interpersonal effectiveness.
Yeah.
It's really helpful for people who struggle with intense emotions, like those with borderline personality disorder.
So it's not about becoming some emotionless robot.
Mm.
It's about learning how to manage those intense feelings in a healthy way.
Exactly. It's about building skills to tolerate distress, regulate emotions, and improve your relationships.
I could see that being helpful for anybody who feels like their emotions sometimes get the better of them.
Oh, for sure.
What about group therapy?
Group therapy can be so powerful because it gives you a space for shared understanding and support. You realize that you're not alone in what you're going through.
Right.
And you can actually learn from the experiences of other people.
It's about those connections and realizing that you're part of a larger community.
Absolutely. And it's also about recognizing that different approaches work for different people.
Sure.
You know, the key is finding a therapist and an approach that feels right for you.
Yeah, it's got to be the right fit
mm-hmm.
for your individual needs and preferences.
Absolutely.
But beyond therapy, are there things that we can do in our daily lives?
Yeah.
To manage stress.
Oh, for sure.
And boost our mental well-being.
Your sources offer a ton of different strategies.
Mm.
And what's interesting is they really emphasize the interconnectedness of our physical, mental, and emotional health.
Okay.
You can't treat them as separate things.
Gotcha.
They all influence each other.
So taking care of your physical health is also a form of taking care of your mental health.
Exactly. Things like getting enough sleep, eating good food, right. exercising regularly. Those aren't just good for your body. They have a huge impact on your mood, your energy levels, your ability to cope with stress.
It's like that old saying, healthy body, healthy mind.
It's true.
It really is all connected.
Absolutely. And don't underestimate those social connections.
Okay.
Spending time with people you love having good relationships.
Yeah.
That's vital for good mental health.
Speaking of connections, your sources really emphasize the importance of building a strong support system.
Yeah.
It's about having those people that you can lean on.
Yeah.
Those who really get it and support you through the ups and downs.
They're there for you no matter what.
Yeah. And it's about recognizing that seeking help is not a sign of weakness.
Totally.
It's actually a sign of strength and self-awareness.
It takes courage to reach out and say, I need help.
It does. I feel like we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
But I'm already feeling more empowered just knowing that all these resources and strategies are out there.
Are just getting started.
I know.
There's so much more to explore.
All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to delve even deeper into the world of mental health and well-being. Welcome back to our deep dive into mental health. Before the break, we were talking about the importance of support systems.
Yeah.
Those folks you can really lean on when things get tough.
Right.
One of your sources shares a story about a man who was struggling with depression, and he found so much comfort and strength in a local support group.
That's a great example of how powerful it can be to connect with people who really understand what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those support groups, they offer validation and understanding, and you can get practical advice from people who've been there.
It's about realizing you're not alone.
Yeah.
And there's strength in those shared experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your sources also talk about the essential role of mental health professionals.
Right.
They can offer that expert guidance, evidence-based strategies.
Yeah.
And just a safe space to really process your thoughts and feelings.
Feeling like having a coach for your mental health, guiding you toward a healthier, more fulfilling life.
I love that. It's like a personal trainer for your mind.
That's a great way to put it.
You know, helping you build that mental fitness and resilience.
Yeah, and just like you wouldn't think twice about going to the doctor if you had a physical problem.
Right.
It's just as important to seek professional help for your mental health.
I love that. We've covered a lot of ground so far, from understanding these different mental health challenges.
Yeah.
To exploring all these different strategies for well-being. Mm. But I'm curious, in all this research, is there anything that really stood out to you?
Mm.
Anything that maybe surprised you or changed your perspective?
One thing that really struck me was the emphasis on how interconnected our mental, emotional, and physical health really are.
Oh, yeah.
Your sources are saying these aren't separate things. You can't treat them in isolation.
They all work together.
Yeah, it's a holistic view of well-being.
It makes total sense that you can't really address one without considering the others.
Exactly. And it goes back to those lifestyle factors we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
You know, things like sleep, diet, exercise.
Right.
Those aren't just good for your body.
Yeah.
They have a huge impact on your mood, your energy.
Right.
Your ability to handle stress.
Healthy body, healthy mind, right?
It's true. It's all connected.
And don't forget those social connections.
Oh, yeah. So important.
Spending time with people you love and nurturing those relationships.
Yeah. That's a big one.
That's key to good mental health.
It is.
Speaking of connections, your sources really emphasize building a strong support system.
Oh, for sure.
It's about having those people you can rely on.
Yeah.
Who understand and support you through the ups and downs.
They're there for you no matter what.
And recognizing that seeking help isn't a weakness.
No.
It's actually a sign of strength and self-awareness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Takes a lot of courage to reach out and ask for support.
I couldn't agree more. It seems like we've explored so many strategies for prioritizing mental well-being.
Yeah, we have.
Everything from, you know, those practical tips and mindfulness techniques to therapy.
Right.
And the power of support systems.
The whole toolbox of resources.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we move on to our final thoughts?
I think just one final thought. Taking care of your mental health, it's not a destination. It's a journey.
Mm.
It's those small, consistent choices we make every day that nourish our mind, body, and spirit.
And we are back for the final part of our mental health deep dive. You know, going through all this research with you, I'm realizing there's so much emphasis on the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
It's not just about individual well-being.
Right.
It's about creating a society that really, truly supports mental health.
That's one of the key takeaways from your sources, for sure. Mm. You know, that they're saying individual strategies are essential.
Right.
But it can't stop there. Mm. You know, we have to address these bigger systemic issues that are contributing to these challenges.
So things like reducing the stigma, promoting those open conversations, making sure people have access to affordable and quality mental health care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One article even used the term mental health literacy,
mm.
arguing that we need to educate ourselves and others about mental health.
Right.
just like we do with physical health.
Yeah.
You know, the more we understand, the better equipped we are to support ourselves and the people around us.
It's about creating that culture where people feel comfortable talking about their mental health.
Yeah.
Where they can seek help when they need it.
Right.
And where we can offer support to others without judgment.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And challenging those stereotypes and misconceptions that keep the stigma alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mental illness isn't a sign of weakness.
Right.
It doesn't discriminate.
It can affect anybody.
Or anyone.
Regardless of age, gender, race, socioeconomic status.
It doesn't matter.
One of the research papers actually highlighted the economic impact of these mental health challenges.
Interesting.
Pointing out that, you know, untreated mental illness can lead to decreased productivity, increased healthcare costs.
Lost work days.
Yeah. So addressing mental health isn't just, you know, a moral imperative. It's an economic one as well.
Absolutely. Investing in mental health services and prevention programs, it's not just good for individuals.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for society as a whole.
I love that. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of mental health,
okay,
what's the one message you really want our listener to take away from all of this?
If I had to pick one thing, I'd say you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health challenges are way more common than most people think.
Yeah.
And there is no shame in seeking help and support. You deserve to feel good.
Yeah.
And there are people and resources out there to help you on your journey.
That's such a powerful message. And remember, even if you're not struggling yourself, you can still play a role in creating a more supportive and understanding environment for those who are.
We can all be advocates for mental health by educating ourselves, by challenging the stigma, and by offering compassionate support to the people around us.
Well said. And remember, taking care of your mental health isn't a one-time fix. It's an ongoing process. It's about making those small, consistent choices each and every day that nourish your mind, body, and spirit.
Yeah, whether that's practicing mindfulness, spending time in nature, connecting with loved ones, you know, being creative.
Right.
Or seeking professional support, just prioritize your well-being.
Yes.
You deserve it.
Beautifully said. On that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. We hope you found it informative, empowering, and maybe even a little bit inspiring. Remember, you're not alone, and there's always hope. Take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.